This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name is Daryl Ong and you're tuned in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Today on the program, we're going to be checking in with professional golfer Genevieve Ling to get a feel of what it's like being on the golf course post-MCO. First up, the PGA Tour is one of the first few mainstream tournaments and mainstream sport worldwide to get back swinging. And to find out what the new normal is for the Pro Tour, I have on the line Chua Chu Chiang, who is the Senior Director of Communications at the PGA Tour. Welcome to the show, Chua. Let's start with yourself. How have you been feeling during this worldwide lockdown?
Daryl, I think like many others, I think it's been a challenging time in the sense that lives have been affected. We have to observe certain regulations as instructed by the government. So in this new normal that we've experience over the last 3 months or so, it's been different, no doubt. I think everyone's been doing their part, and it's great to see the country flattening the curve to,
for sure, yeah,
to double digits, in fact single digits new cases, which is a really positive sign, yeah.
For sure. Things are beginning to resume to, like you said, the new normal, especially in golf and the PGA Tour. It returned on the 11th of June after a 91-day hiatus since the Players' Championship, right, was cancelled. And this is the longest unscheduled break from the competition since World War II. Golf, definitely one of the first sports to get underway since the COVID-19 pandemic. Tell us a little bit how you guys, the PGA Tour, have been coping with the lockdown.
I think, firstly, we are truly excited to be back and playing golf again with this week's Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial in Fort Worth, Texas. That's been weeks and months of preparation has been made to get to this point of the week for play to resume.
Yeah.
I think what we at PGA Tour have been ensuring is to be as thoughtful, as transparent and responsible in dealing with this situation that certainly all of us are involved in. So in dealing with local health authorities, ensuring that our player advisory council and our player directors are included in discussions as to how we would resume play in a safe environment. I think that is always the main thing that the tour is keen to do, and we've been fortunate that we've been able to restart the tour with the completion of the first round on Thursday in America. So thankfully, everything has been running smoothly, and I'm not sure if you followed the leaderboard. We've got a great leaderboard as well, and truly exciting to see so many of the best players from the PGA Tour teeing it up in Fort Worth this week. I think we have like 9 out of 10 players from the current FedEx Cup point list playing this week. We have the top 5 players in the world teeing up this week, led by Rory McIlroy and players like Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, John Rahm. They're all competing this week, which is good to see. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think at the time of recording, Justin Rose is leading day one, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Justin shot a 763 in the first round, and he holds the lead with Harold Varner, the third, who also shot a matching score. And looking at the leaderboard, you know, it's such a cosmopolitan leaderboard. We've got Johnny Vegas, Abraham Anser, Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas as well, all within the top 5 of the leaderboard after day one. Yeah, so it certainly promises to set us off back onto the right food, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a star-studded feel, but I think the biggest difference, yeah, in this new normal is the absence of fans in the galleries. For you, Chua, how would this change the way tournaments are organized in the future?
We have decided that the first four events upon resumption beginning this week will be without any fans on site. Obviously, that's the very based on the fact that we want to ensure that our fans are also safe and also the players and the caddies who are going to be on site moving forward, they are also sort of like kept within a bubble where we can create a safety net of sort, yeah.
Mm.
And various initiatives obviously has been done to based on our health and safety plan, you know, apart from social distancing, we've got a multi-layered screening approach, and there'll be like pre-travel testing, on-site testing, and thermal screening, stuff like that. And just basically keeping limited people on the ground. I think plus the fact that golf is played on such a big and a wide open space, I think golf courses are built across 300 acres of land. So observing social distancing is a little bit more easier in our sport.
Mm.
But as to your question, how we will proceed without having fans on tour for the next 4 weeks, that's obviously interesting. I think based on the first round yesterday in America, some of the players did comment that it was a little bit of a surreal kind of situation when they hit a great shot, normally fans
claps,
respond and provide encouragement and clap. Yeah, so that was obviously missing. But I think we will hopefully come to a situation where the fans will be allowed back into our tournaments. Our Memorial Tournament in July, which is hosted in Ohio and hosted by golf legend Jack Nicklaus.
Mm.
They are the first tournament to basically announce that they will allow a limited number of fans to come back on site to watch the golf. Yeah.
Mm.
So that will be the first tournament in July that we will have fans back.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I think we are doing everything that we can through social media, through our broadcast, to create engagement with our fans. You know, we love our fans, obviously. You know, sports is all about engaging fans. And we've come up with some cool initiatives to ensure that our fans still remain involved with following the golf tournaments this week and over the next few weeks. Yeah.
Mm. Tell us a little bit what is expected for the remainder of the season, which I understand will be shortened. Tell us a little bit of how it would affect things.
Okay, basically with the cancellation of play over the last 3 months, the season will be shortened. We've decided that there will be a total of 14 tournaments remaining until the end of the season in early September. We have already played 22 tournaments during the 2019-2020 season, and it will culminate with our FedEx Cup playoff events. We have three of those events, which culminates with the Tour Championship in Atlanta, where the FedEx Cup champion will be crowned again. Yeah, so it looks like it's going to be a sort of a sprint for players to fight and chase for the prestigious FedEx Cup, which comes with a cool $15 million in prize money as well. Yeah, which is the biggest prize purse in golf. Yeah.
Bringing it back closer to home, tell us a little bit about the progress of Asian golfers on this PGA Tour this season.
You know what? It's great to see the progress of Asian golfers, especially this year and over the last few years as well, Darryl. Our FedEx Cup leader right now is Korea's Sung Jae-im. He basically won his first PGA Tour tournament in March before the shutdown at the Honda Classic.
Mm.
And then after his win, he finished third at the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill, which basically propelled him to the top of the FedEx Cup points list. Yeah, so he is in the front-running spot to to try and become the first Asian golfer to win the FedEx Cup. We have not had a FedEx Cup champion from Asia previously, so a lot of excitement there. But a lot of other great players as well from Asia who were doing really well on the PGA Tour. Obviously, a lot of people know about Hideki Matsuyama from Japan. He's a five-time winner already, still only 28 years old. He's been showing some steady form this season. He's had five or six top tens over his last 10, 12 starts of the season. He's top 10 of the FedEx Cup points list as well. And then we've had players like Ben Ahn from Korea, who played in the President's Cup in Australia last year, did great in Down Under. And then we also have Tsitsipas from Chinese Taipei. He won for the first time on the PGA Tour last year at the RBC Heritage, and he will defend that tournament next week. So many, many upcoming players who are flying the Asian flag really well, yeah. And of course, on the Asian Tour as well, we've had players like Jas Jane Watanarn from Thailand. He won the Order of Merit in Asia last year, and because of his top 50 ranking in the world, he gets into a lot of starts in America, some of the World Golf Championships. He's playing this week at the Charles Schwab Challenge as well. So a lot of great expectations from this young Thai golfer as well, yeah.
Yeah, great to hear. I've been speaking to Chua Chu Chiang, the Senior Director of Communications at the PGA Tour. Last question, what do you foresee, or rather, what do you hope will be the new normal when it comes to the golfing scene?
I believe that we will be able to continue with our resumption of play, hopefully without any hiccups. There will certainly be a new normal for everyone to observe and practice. I think what the PGA Tour has done with our health and safety plan, it's been thoroughly discussed with health officials, with governments as well, and trying to ensure a safe environment for us to be able to complete golf tournaments as well as we can, and basically to continue to inspire fans and viewers and sports lovers. Yeah, I think one of the things that's pretty cool about the PGA Tour resuming this week is the fact that, you know, during the shutdown we've not had any live sports at all.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people around the world they truly enjoy watching golf, supporting golf, or even other sports as well, which has become part of their life, it's part of people's culture as well. So hopefully we can get back to a new normal and people can start to enjoy this element of what they do in their daily lives. Yeah. So fingers crossed we can maintain what we've started this week and continue to roll out all the other tournaments that we've planned for the rest of the 2020 season.
Many thanks again to Chua Chu Chiang, the Senior Director of Communications at the PGA Tour. Coming up on the program, we check in with professional golfer Genevieve Ling on Life on the Fairway Beyond the MCO. Stick around, this is Bar None, only on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong and you're tuned into Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Now on to our feature of the week, we spoke to Genevieve Ling, a Malaysian professional golfer who, while her career is pretty much in its infancy, she has already won 4 Professional Golf of Malaysia events. A bright Malaysian talent and definitely one to look out for, she has an ultimate goal of making it to the LPGA Tour. The MCO has shut down the second home for many golfers, and while recreational golfing has been recently reopened, many golfers for months had to be content with training at home. We kickstarted the conversation by asking about her training routine during the lockdown.
I try to do a lot of home workouts and home golf stuff because As you know, golf is something which requires a lot of space, and I live in an apartment, so I didn't really have the benefit of having a park or a garden or something that I can hit balls in. But I think I did what I could during the duration. It was definitely a new experience for me to be stuck inside that long.
Yeah, because golf, it really is a different ball game, right? You know, football, you can kick a ball against the wall. Badminton, you can play over the gate. But golf, you actually need the golf course as well. Sure, there are virtual, driving range and stuff like that. But tell us a little bit about what you just said. You know, how do you train at home? Is it all just workout? Or, you know, how do you practice your swing at home, basically?
Yeah, so obviously there's a lot of elements to a golf swing. I think one of the things that you can work on at home is the basics such as your grip, your posture, things that sometimes you take for granted, you know, when you're playing golf every day, you don't check these basics. And I think that was a good time to just make sure that all of that was good. And then obviously I just tried to do, so there's this thing called speed sticks, and it's a training program that you can do to help increase your swing speed. Basically to hit it further, which is what every golfer wants, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I did over the MCO. Just did a lot of speed sticks, did a lot of swing, a little bit of technique with just like mirror work. Yeah.
And then when you get to the golf course, when it was announced that it was going to reopen, you went straight away the next day, right? Because you missed it so much. How different did it feel, you know, playing golf straight away after being in your apartment for so long?
Obviously, it was just nice to be out. I think one of the biggest difference, well, when you're on the golf course, you hit the grass, right? You're able to hit the ground. When I'm in my apartment, I'm trying not to hit the ground.
Yeah, true.
So the first thing was just getting the feel of hitting grass again. And just different elements to golf that you can't really practice when you're inside. So
yeah, for sure.
I think obviously it was very different because I play golf every day. So for not having touched my clubs that long, it took a while to get used to. But I think as golfers, it's something that comes pretty easy to us once we are back out on the golf course.
So those few weeks when you know after the MCO, when you went to the golf course, did you feel that you had to train and work a little bit harder to make up for all those lost time?
Actually, not really. Like the first shot that I hit was a spin shot. So I think it's because I was trying not to hit the ground, right? And then after that, I hit a few balls to the driving range and I went straight to the course. I hit pretty decent, actually, for not hitting for over a month. And then I think, the golf swing is like muscle memory, right? You can't just lose it unless you've been sitting down and lying down your bed for 47 days. So yeah, I think I got it back pretty fast.
Talking a little bit about, you know, I guess when the next tournament comes out, and it's very likely that the tournament will be played without crowds. That's one thing for sure. How do you think that would affect your game? Is it for you a blessing in disguise? You know, it's even quieter rather than having a crowd there?
I think golf is not a very loud game at all. So I don't think the crowd thing would be that big of a difference. Although it is nice when you make a putt and people are clapping for you, or sometimes it's nice to just have people around to support you, obviously. But I think we're all just, as competitive golfers, we all just want to go out and play again, so it doesn't really matter about the crowds. Well, it depends who the crowds are. If it's people that I know, like if my parents are following me, then obviously I feel a little bit more motivation because I know they're there to support me.
Yeah.
But if it's just random people, then they don't really affect me.
You just play your game, that's all.
Yeah.
So when tournaments do resume, there's going to be a ton of protocols, a ton of SOPs that's going to be in place. What do you think will be, I guess, the biggest difference when, you know, tournaments resume?
I think for now it's the pins being left in, so we can't take the pins out of the hole.
Right.
I'm not really sure. I think for tournament golf, they'll probably have pins that are more, that are thinner, so when you hit the ball and hit the pin, it's not going to come back out. Because right now, when we're playing just regular golf, it's happened quite a few times to me and my friends where you hit the pin and then the ball bounces out, right? So I think they will have a way to overcome that for tournament golf, because every stroke counts for us, obviously. And yeah, we don't want to be distracted by a pin there, but
it's a new normal you're going to have to adjust to, right?
Yeah.
What else do you think would change, I guess? I read a couple of things, especially since there's a tournament going on now, and the big issue is caddies, right? Do you think that would change in any way?
So for the tours that I play on, most of the time, unless you bring somebody that you know, we just take local club caddies.
Yeah.
So I think it would depend on the club, but hopefully they would have COVID testing and stuff like that for their caddies, which I think it will be fine for us because we'll be taking caddies that are already tested and obviously we'll just keep our social distance from them.
Mm.
And I think they would probably be wearing masks and maybe even gloves. So hygiene would be very important.
Mm. Do you have any news on your next tournament? Is it, would it even be held this year or maybe could it be like next year?
Yeah, we actually have some news from, so I play, one of the tours I play on is in Taiwan.
Mm.
And the tour has actually announced that they might have a tournament in July, but for now, I don't think we will be able to participate in that because of the borders, and I think international travel in Malaysia is not allowed till end August, right? So I'm not really sure how that's going to work with traveling and stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely, hopefully, things get back, resume as soon as possible, especially when the borders are open again. I really want to talk a little bit about your career. You've been playing since 2015. Am I correct?
No, I turned pro mid-2017.
Mid-2017, you turned pro. Yes. So you're still pretty much, early on in your career, a long way to go. Bring me back to, I guess, the younger version of you. How were you introduced into the sport?
So I began golf actually just for fun. I picked it up with my dad when I was 12. I did taekwondo before and then I was kind of bored of taekwondo already, so I wanted to pick up another sport. I've always been a sporty person, so my dad wanted to pick up golf. So he brought me and my sister with him to the driving range. And then I just loved it from then and never gave up the sport.
Mm.
So I was lucky that the sport actually brought me a lot of places. I represent the country a lot. So I got to travel when I was younger, just playing golf around the world. And then when I turned 17, I got lucky and got a scholarship to go to school in the U.S. I got 4 years of college paid for and I got to play golf. So
yeah, that's great.
Dreams come true.
You moved to Idaho.
Yes.
Yeah, how long? Tell me a bit about your time there. How long were you there? Tell me a bit about the experience.
Yeah, so college golf is 4 years. It's a four-year program.
Mm.
So obviously you can have a shorter duration if you don't want to play all 4 years. But I was in Boise State University. It's a Division I NCAA school. So it was a competitive program. It's good. I really liked it. So I was very lucky, actually. I didn't really talk to a lot of coaches. I didn't really think that I was going to get a scholarship to go there. So when I did, I was just kind of like, okay, pack my bags, let's go. I wasn't really prepared.
Right.
And one of the reasons why I chose Boise was because I wanted to go to somewhere new and like be on my own, not have a friend to lean on, not have fellow Malaysians. And I was about maybe one of a handful of Malaysians in Idaho. So it was a very, very interesting experience. But I think I really learned a lot and I grew up a lot living for 4 years by myself.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S. is definitely, I read somewhere a stat that the U.S. has 45% of the world's golf courses, and that stat was just insane to me. So tell me a little bit about, I guess, the different cultures, golfing cultures. You've played in Malaysia your whole life, then you move over there. It must be a whole different experience.
Yeah, actually, golf there is a lot more relaxed.
Relaxed? What do you mean?
Yeah, the first time I went to the U.S. to compete, it was at the U.S. Women's Junior World. It's called Junior World Competition. Right. So it was in Torrey Pines, which is a very renowned golf course. They have PGA championships there. And I was shocked because we thought it was going to be very prestigious, right? And people were walking up barefooted with like singlets on and they were teeing off. Whereas in Malaysia, it's like dress code is really important.
Yeah.
You have to wear golf attire. You have to be proper at all times.
Mm.
So yeah, I feel like golf in US is very relaxed and people just seem to be playing the game in a much more fun, enjoyable manner. They take it much less seriously, I think.
Right. Taking that into account, I guess, how do you think, being there for 4 years, how do you think that the Malaysian scene can kind of replicate that kind of same golfing culture?
I think, it's a bit difficult here because I think golf courses themselves are a bit more strict, with dress code.
Mm.
Certain courses, you're only allowed to wear long pants and stuff like that. So in dress code in the US is very, very lenient. They allow you to basically wear anything you want.
Mm.
So I think that actually encourages more people to go to the golf courses
because
they don't feel like they have to buy a new outfit just to play golf, And I think in Malaysia, I don't know. I think there's like little friendly competitions going on between friends at all times when you play golf.
Mm.
but it seems like there's more in Malaysia than in the US.
Yeah, I think one of the big difference, you know, in the US, they have actually a golf grassroots system, and it's all over the country, right? Talking a little bit about, I guess, the interests in golf, you know, the next generation, the young generation of Malaysians, they rather, you know, see something like football or badminton. But in the US, it's completely different, right? I mean, sure, there are a lot more sports, but there are more people interested in golf. How do you think, you know, us as the local scene can kind of inculcate and educate the next generation about golf?
Yeah, I think the US, I think the system that you're talking about is called the First Tee.
Okay.
So they have programs and tournaments held all over the country. Mm. So they really encourage junior players. I think the one thing, of course, like I was talking about, just a simple thing like dress code. In Malaysia, it's very strict with like dress code, right?
Mm.
So in the US, it's very common just for parents to bring their kids who, you know, 4 or 5 years old, just bring them with them to the golf course.
Mm.
You know, there's not much like handicap restriction and stuff like that. Over here in Malaysia, most golf courses require you to have a handicap before you can even step foot on the golf course.
Right.
So I think that kind of maybe limits juniors from being able to go on the golf course.
Mm.
Well, overseas, it's very easy for parents to just bring kids and then, you know, maybe they'll hit a putt here or there and then maybe it'll spark their interest. So I think the accessibility factor definitely helps golf grow elsewhere.
Yeah, and I think one thing that blocks that is the stigma of golf being a very elite sport or, I guess, an expensive sport. What would you say to people who think that way?
I think every sport can be expensive.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, with something like golf, you can honestly spend 10 ringgit, you know, to go hit balls for an hour, which even if you go watch a movie, that is going to be more expensive than being able to hit balls for 1 hour. And you can spend time with your family. You can be, you know, you can talk, you can have a drink. So I think golf, if you're lucky enough to be able to pick up the sport, it's actually a very great game. I grew up playing golf with my entire family. So me, my mom, my dad, and my sister.
Mm.
We spent every weekend together on the golf course, and it was great. It was great bonding time, you know. I feel like it's something that can help every family, because especially today, you know, not a lot of us spend enough time with our families, I think.
Mm. It's a nice activity away from any TV screens or mobile phones or anything, right? Last few questions, Genevieve. In your opinion, what makes a good golfer?
I think it's a lot about attitude. If you've played golf before, you know golf is like, I don't know how many percent, but it's a big percentage between the years.
Mm.
You know, it's a lot mental. Obviously, you need to have the physical skills, but up to a certain point, it's all mental.
Mm.
So you need to, if you don't have the right attitude on the golf course, it's going to be very difficult, first of all, to enjoy golf. So you're not going to have fun. So I think the most important thing is to have a good attitude. Golf is not an easy game. There's so many elements that you can't control. It's not, you know, even like something like bowling. You're bowling you're on one lane, right? On the golf course, there's like kilometers of grass and there's so many other different things that can affect your game. And you just have to have the right attitude and mindset to play good golf.
What do you hope for the future of the Malaysian golfing scene?
I hope that people are going to be more accepting to juniors. I feel like that's one of the things that's limiting people from starting golf. As you said, it seems kind of like an elitist sport. You know, people don't seem very friendly and like asking people to begin the game.
Sorry, was it hard for you in the junior scene?
I've definitely had my challenges.
Mm.
I think, you know, I had to, let's just say like for a short game, there wasn't a lot of facility for me to practice on.
Right.
And most of the time when you're a junior, people just give you a look as if you're, you know, going to disturb their practice. But in fact, I was just there because I wanted to practice my own short game, you know.
Mm.
So I think just changing that attitude of like kids are there. Of course, they want to have fun. So sometimes they might, you know, maybe they're running around for a little bit. But it's because maybe they have a shorter attention span. You know, they're still young. Just let them enjoy the game a little bit and don't be so strict around the golf course, I think.
Mm. And I guess you proved them wrong lah with your performances. last question, Genevieve. Tell us a little bit about, I guess, your plans for, I guess, maybe this year there won't be any tournaments, but yeah, tell us a little bit about your plans for the rest of the year and maybe for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, hopefully there will be tournaments that we can play by the end of the year. Mm. I think there should be. But if not, my long-term goal is to be playing on the LPGA. The LPGA is the biggest women's golf tour.
Yeah.
Obviously, because of everything that's happened, there's not going to be a qualifying school this year. But hopefully, next year, I'll be able to go. and hopefully I'll pass it and get my membership. Then I'll be able to play, I'll be able to go back to the US and play on that tour. Yeah. So that's my dream.
That was professional golfer Genevieve Ling rounding up our edition of Abanan this week. If you'd like to revisit the interviews we've done with Genevieve and also Chua, you can head over to our website www.bfm.my/Abanan. If you'd like to share with us your thoughts, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. And also don't forget to download our BFM app via Google Play and the App Store. My name's Daryl Ong. Thanks for listening to Abanan, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. And join us again next week, only here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.